Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Asia Pacific shares are trading mixed this morning as many investors wait for Australia to release its latest job numbers. Out in about half an hour, the ASX 200 in Sydney is trading down 0.4%. The Kospi in Seoul is trading up by about the same percentage. And in Nikkei in Tokyo, it's right between the two. It's in the green, but only by a notch. Joining me to break down all the market action, including the latest listings and the earnings numbers, he's Ryan Huang. How's Thursday looking, Ryan?
Thursday's looking good. We are on the eve of Friday, which is the eve of the weekend, so...
Love your optimism there. All right, let's start with earnings and IPOs. The market's so abuzz, Ryan, this morning over big banks opening their books. And, of course, that new stock market listing that could potentially change their prominence in the financial field. Let's start with the latter. I'm talking about the cryptocurrency trading platform Coinbase, which made its debut on the NASDAQ overnight and quickly became one of America's biggest publicly traded U.S. companies. So, Ryan, we're going to get to some of the numbers in a moment. But first, I wonder if you can help put this in perspective for listeners. What or why does the Coinbase listing matter?
So Coinbase is pretty much the go-to exchange for cryptocurrency, whether you want to trade, buy, sell. It is that big. It is the pretty much the largest, if you look at it, cryptocurrency exchange. And for it to get a listing done successfully really is a reflection of how mainstream cryptocurrency has become. And this is just paving the way for even more to maybe join the likes of Coinbase as a listing. And the size of the listing, let's talk about that. The market cap after listing on day one is right now putting Coinbase at around $85 billion. That exceeds the owner of the New York Stock Exchange's market cap, which is right now around $66 billion. So if you think about that, the new kid on the block is now worth more than one of the long-running or long-standing names in the old world of finance. That really tells you where investors are putting their money, where they think the future is right now.
Yeah, luring Coinbase to NASDAQ, quite a good thing for NASDAQ. Technically, this was a direct listing, not an initial public offering. And that could have contributed to the volatile swings that we saw in Coinbase's price overnight. So while Coinbase shares finished sharply higher than their indicative price, whether you made money or not overnight on Coinbase depends on what moment you were able to buy the shares. Tell us more.
Yeah, so that is a very good point, right? The reference price for Coinbase before trading was $250. So if you had a share of Coinbase before it started trading, you would probably be in the green or in the black right now. When it opened trading, it started at $381. And in the first 10 minutes, it jumped up to over $420, I believe.
Yep.
And that started to fall downhill or go downhill from there, to a low of around 320 before it closed near a session low at 330. So still above reference price, but below the opening price. So it depends on when you got into Coinbase, you would have differing, I guess, outcomes. But it's quite reflective of how volatile cryptocurrencies can be and are. So Coinbase, a choppy day one, but by most metrics, it has been quite a good debut on the NASDAQ.
Yeah, good point about volatility. Coinbase now has a market valuation of $86 billion. That is more than three times greater than the market cap of the NASDAQ. That's the exchange on which it is listed. It's also bigger than the New York Stock Exchange, as you heard. And it's not that far off, really, from the value of established financial firms like Goldman Sachs. For many market watchers, Coinbase's listing is a sign of crypto entering the mainstream. Bitcoins, by the way, now trading above $63,000 a coin. Now, Coinbase was not the only new economy company to make waves overnight. On Market Minute yesterday, Ryan and I were talking about Alchemy Technology. Now, that's a fintech that's trying to level the playing field between small banks and larger financial institutions. So, Ryan, how is Alchemy's IPO received?
Yeah, talk about the future of banking and finance. Another play into that future, you've got Alchemy Technology making a rather good day one debut. surging 38% on its first trading day. So that puts it in position for growth. And Alchemy, for those who are not familiar with it, has a rather broad customer base in terms of how it's serving more than 160 financial institutions with its cloud-based digital banking software. So that is attracting a lot of interest, and it had a good day one.
Do you think it's pronounced Alchemy?
I would go with Alchemy.
Why do these fintechs have to spell their names so weirdly? All right, let's turn to more traditional banking shares. Earnings season now underway. Expectations are high. This could be the best quarter of earnings growth in more than a decade. Big banks are traditionally among the first companies to report. And we now have the numbers from Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo. So Ryan, what's the verdict?
Yeah, it's an interesting night because it was a day where you had both the new world of finance and the old world coming together. So you have the earnings season kicking off with the banks putting their first quarter report cards out. And just to sum it up, it was a rather good show of numbers. And this was really fueled by higher trading activity, like we've seen in recent weeks and months, how there have been so many SPACs and IPOs, and of course, a lot of retail investors jumping on board, all that creating a rather buoyant market environment. So the banks, including Goldman Sachs, benefited from that, and we saw their net earnings rise to $6.7 billion from $1.1 billion the same period a year ago. In fact, it made so much money from trading. This first 3 months of the year, it made more money from trading than any quarter in the past decade. That was how good it was.
Wow. Blowing past analysts' expectations. JP Morgan Chase also topped expectations. It posted a first quarter profit of more than $14 billion. So what's driving its business?
Yeah, you have the same drivers as well for Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan. Also into the equation is how you might remember back when the pandemic started, there was a mood of caution, more conservative bank approach, where they had to set aside provisions for what might happen, buffers to pretty much have allowance for bad debts and defaults. So that now has cleared up. There's a brighter outlook ahead. So they have managed to trim down those provisions. So the release of reserves has helped to paint a better picture for its numbers. So that is one, I guess, indication that banks may be likely doing well in the quarters to come. Of course, being lifted as well from the broader economic picture, with the US economy trudging along to pre-COVID-19 levels, slowly but surely, it seems like that is also helping the banking industry as well.
Yeah, another, a great quarter for JP Morgan Chase. Wells Fargo also announced higher profits thanks to the need to maintain bank reserves. So Ryan, with the banks all reporting stellar numbers, how did the markets react? Did bank shares take off?
On the whole, we did see financials go up. But if you dive into the specific companies, Goldman Sachs was up 2.3%, and that was off the back of the company having a really robust first quarter lifted by trading. But JP Morgan Chase was down 1.9%, and perhaps it was due to commentary from CEO Jamie Dimon saying that loan demand will remain challenging even though first quarter expectations were beat. So a bit of caution coming through from Jamie Dimon.
Let's turn now to other corporate news for our game of up or down, where I name a company in the news. Ryan tells us whether he thinks it's moving up or down. Are you ready, Ryan?
Let's go.
American Eagle.
All right, so this is an apparel retailer in the US. And the story here is probably going to make it go up because it has been also seeing a robust first quarter, so much so that it has managed to clock in revenue of more than $1 billion thanks to strong demand for its clothes. And it's not just seeing higher sales. It's able to sell it at full price rather than discounting the items. So that is a reflection of strong demand and maybe more to come in the coming quarters. And also maybe part of that is being driven by the stimulus checks that Americans have been getting and maybe spending it on looking good.
Yeah, guess what they're buying? Jeans, leggings, dressier tops. All things I've seen you wear recently, Ryan. All right, let's move on to Dell.
Dell, that is interesting because it is going through or proceeding with something that's been in the works for quite some time, and that is the spin-off of its ownership of enterprise software maker VMware. So in after-hours trading, That saw its stock price up over 9%. So we are looking at potentially a bit of a windfall for Dell after this potential spin-off, because VMware will be giving a cash dividend. And this will see Dell, which owns 81% of VMware, gets up to $9.7 billion. So that will go some way to helping it to pare down its debt, which it pretty much chalked up when it bought EMC many years ago, which in turn bought VMware many, many, many years ago. So it's going to be up for me for Dell.
It is up for me as well. Dell planning to spin off one of its units, as you heard, VMware. That's an enterprise software maker, and investors seem to like the news. Dell shares jumped as much as 9% in after-hours trade. All right, finally, Singapore listed MM2 Asia.
Okay, MM2 Asia is an entertainment group which owns the Cathay chain. So I would say it's an up for me because they have managed to close their rights issue and raise nearly $55 million. So with that, that will give them a stronger balance sheet, which will allow them to ride out the challenges ahead and maybe position it for growth opportunities.
Yeah, it's a tough call, this one. I'll go with up as well, you know, based on that $55 million that it's raised from a new rights issue, which it is going to use to largely pay off its debts. But MM2 shares are down nearly 50% since the start of the year. Singapore's economy seems to be growing faster than expected. Advanced estimates put first quarter growth at 0.2% year on year. Now, this is well above the consensus forecast that was predicting a contraction. The Monetary Authority of Singapore is now predicting that full-year growth will, quote, likely exceed the upper end of the official 4 to 6% forecast. So, Ryan, is this new enthusiasm over Singapore's growth rate seeping its way into markets? Yesterday, the STI closed down 0.25% yesterday at 31.79. How's it doing this morning?
Yeah, so we saw the STI giving back gains from the prior session, which broke a 5-day winning or losing streak. So it's back down again. And looking at the opening minutes, we are seeing it back up again. Now in the green by 0.1%. So pretty much reflective of what's happening in the region, trading sideways. The STI now trading at 3,183. And if you look at the picture of what the STI looks like right now, it is split across the middle with both green and red pretty much evening out. And right at the bottom is SIA, down 1.4%, followed by Yangzhijiang Shipbuilding and Mapletree Industrial Trust. And DBS is at the other end of the table, gaining 0.8%. And OCBC has a new CEO today, Helen Wong. He or she steps in as the first female CEO of a local bank, and they are also up by 0.1%. And we've got, of course, the confirmation that Jardine Matheson has completed its acquisition of Jardine Strategic, so pretty much formalized and approved. So right now, looking at Jardine Matheson, yesterday it closed lower by 0.3%. And look at Jardine Matheson right now, it is trading down 0.1%, continuing that fall, now trading at $64.80.
He's Ryan Huang. Thanks, Ryan. Enjoy the eve of Friday.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.